The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
What are the lies that the enemy whispers to you? Who do you think you are? There's no hope for you. Why do you even keep holding on to hope? Nothing is ever going to change for you.
Prepare yourself to battle Satan's lies with God's truth.
For every problem that the enemy can highlight, there is a promise from Christ to counter.
Sheila Walsh, next on Life Today.
Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. You know, reading my mail recently and looking at posts on social media, which I'm trying to do less and less these days, but I've noticed a common theme. People losing hope. And honestly, it's not difficult to see why the news at home and around the world is bad. You know, so many things are unprecedented, worst we've ever seen. Have you noticed that they use that phrase almost every night in the news? Barry, my husband, pointed out the other night, and he said, let's count how many times they say unprecedented or worst we've ever seen. But it does seem that way. So my question for you and for me today is, how do we, as committed followers of Christ, live in these days? So for everything in life, I turn to the Word of God. I don't know if you've got a little lazy in your Bible reading. You know, it's easy to do. Life's busy, you know. We've got children, we've got things going on, and it's tempting not to really dive deep. But Jesus said, this is the bread of life. This is a living love letter from God to you and I. And so it's such a priority in my life, and it has made such a difference. And even a verse like this, and that last hugely significant conversation that Jesus had with his closest friends that John recorded for us. Jesus said this, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So, Christ is acknowledging two realities. There will be trouble, and he has overcome. So, how do you and I hold on to hope in the midst of difficult days? You know, some of us might need a place to start, to actually trust Jesus for the first time. And some people, well, maybe we need a place to start again. We need to remember the power of the Word of God. Remember what it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Yesterday, I was rereading a story that I'm very familiar with from Mark's Gospel. But I read it with fresh eyes, thinking of what we've all been through in the last couple of years. And I found fresh hope in this one woman's story and the fact that after so many years of trouble and isolation, she was still able to hold on to hope. Now, I have taught from this story for years, but there was something about it that as I was reading it yesterday, the Holy Spirit just arrested my attention and helped me see how relevant this is for you and I right now. So let me read from Mark chapter 5. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. She'd heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. 12 years. 12 years is a long time to hold on to hope. And it's hard for us in our modern culture to understand what her world was like. But for 12 years, she had been alone. She'd been a lonely, shunned woman. Now think back 12 years in your own life. Think how old you were then. Think what was going on in your life at that point. That's how long this woman had been isolated from anyone, family, friends, synagogue. Because of Jewish laws concerning cleanliness, she is totally isolated. I mean, no one can touch her. No one can hug her. If she falls, no one can help her. She can't eat in anyone else's home. She's totally isolated. I wonder if you can relate to that. One of the hardest things about the COVID pandemic was how isolated we were. Remember, we couldn't hug anyone. We stayed in our homes. You know, I thought about people in nursing homes or retirement communities who were isolated to their rooms. I have a very dear friend who has moved into one of those communities. And I mean, she's still very fit and active, but it just seemed like the best situation for her. And I was concerned for her in the first year of COVID. And so I would call and see how she was doing. And I didn't realize until one day where she wasn't allowed outside her room. That, yeah, they would bring food, but she said they'd leave a tray outside my room. I mean, it was as if she was a prisoner. And I think about you. You know, so many of you who have written to me are elderly, are living alone, feel isolated anyway, and then COVID hits. How did that impact you? Not able to go to church? I get letters from people who are in prison, and they say that even for them, COVID had an impact. Family weren't able to come and visit. Well, the woman in our story, she's not only isolated, but she is financially ruined. She'd spent everything she had trying out anything a doctor suggested, even the kind of quack things that when you're desperate, you'll try anything. And not only wasn't she even just a little better, she was actually worse than she'd been before, and she was financially ruined. That's terrible. To be lonely and to be in a desperate financial position, it just makes you feel so vulnerable. Then she hears about this man, Jesus. She hears that he's been healing people. So what does she do? She's not allowed to be out in a public crowd. That would be a huge risk. And if she thinks about it, she shouldn't be there. If she touches anyone by mistake, she will make them unclean. But she follows anyway because she's desperate. She tries to find a place to stay kind of far back, but so she can still see Jesus, so that if there's a moment where the crowd parts even just a little bit, because her faith says this, I don't even have to have him turn and look at me. I don't even have to have him touch me. I believe that if I could even just touch the edge of his garment, I will be healed. But then something goes really wrong. Jesus is leaving. If you think about it, Jairus, you know, he's a lead rabbi. I've read a lot about him in early Christian literature. A very respected, good, godly man, kind of like your senior pastor, says to Jesus, "Help my daughter." And Jesus immediately turns. Now, our friend in the story, she is the opposite of Jairus' daughter. There's nobody fighting for her. She is no one. Even in the passage, she's called a woman in the crowd. And he is a lead rabbi. Have you ever been there? So desperate for Jesus to do something in your life, but you just don't feel like you're important enough. You know, you believe that maybe he'll do that for someone else in your group, or you know that he's moved in somebody else's life, but you think, are you ever tempted by the enemy to think, you know, but who are you? Why would God do anything for you? Or maybe you feel you've messed up in your life and you're like, why would God even spend time with me? Well, this story brings hope to every single one of us. But here's her dilemma. As she watches Jesus begin to hurry away, has she missed her moment? Not only that, but if she has time to reflect from what she has been taught since she was a little girl, is that if she touches Jesus, from her understanding, she's now made him unclean. And then he can't go and heal the girl. She'll die. So let's bring it back down to you right now. What would hold you back from reaching out to Jesus, from touching the hem of his garment? What are the lies that the enemy whispers to you? Who do you think you are? There's no hope for you. Why do you even keep holding on to hope? Nothing is ever going to change for you. Here's the truth. Satan is not omniscient. That's a big word. It just simply means he doesn't know everything. He can whisper a lie to you. He does not know if you're going to believe it or not. Only God knows everything. I love this in Psalm 139, first couple of verses. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Now the enemy does not know how you will respond. It's almost as if, imagine yourself standing at the top of a flight of stairs that lead down into a basement. And you're standing there and the first lie comes, who do you think you are? If you agree with that lie, you've just taken a first step down. And then another lie comes, you'll never change, you'll never be any better. If you buy into that, you're another step further down and another step. But I want to remind you that the enemy does not know how you're going to respond. And so we combat every one of his lies with the truth of the Word of God. For every problem that the enemy can highlight, there is a promise from Christ to counter. So say you struggle with anxiety, which a lot of people are these days. Here's a promise. Do not be anxious about anything, but, and here's what we do, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe you think, nobody understands how much I have to carry, how much I'm dealing with in this life. Here comes the promise and an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's truth outweighs the enemy's lies every single day of the week. So let's go back to our friend in the story. She sees that Jesus is leaving, and with the last drop of hope she has, She reaches out and touches the edge of his garment. And immediately, she knows. She feels in her body the power of Christ surging through her, and the bleeding stops. And Jesus felt it too. He says, "Who touched me?" Now, the disciples don't understand. They're like, "Lord, this is a crowd. Everybody touched you." And Jesus waits. "Who touched me?" Because it cost Christ. He felt healing grace go out from him. Now, it's amazing to me that he doesn't point her out. He knows who she is. But he gives her a chance to tell her story. If she had walked away, would she have been healed? I know the bleeding stopped. But what about the shame? What about everything that she's carried all these years? Would she have gone home and thought, "I stole a miracle. I don't know what happened to that child." And would she live for the rest of her life tormented by the enemy and covered in shame? So Jesus gives you and me an opportunity to do one thing, to tell him the whole truth. And that's what she did. We read that she fell on her knees before Jesus and told him the whole truth. See, I love the word salvation, little Greek word sozo. It means to save, yes, but it means to heal as well. It's an ongoing work. See, our darling sister thought she just needed physical healing, but she needed so much more. The presence of Christ is a greater miracle than the absence of disease. Okay, I'm going to say that again, because that sounds a little out there, but I believe it with everything in me. The presence of Christ is a greater miracle than the absence of disease. So Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Go, not go home, go in peace." Now she's in relationship with him. She could have gone away healed, but not in peace. And what about Jairus' daughter? In the time that Jesus spent with this woman, the girl died. But Jesus went to her home and healed her. But here's the mystery, though. Here's why we are people of faith. If you think about it, the girl is 12 years old. This woman has been suffering for 12 years. So in one situation with the daughter, Jesus intervened straight away, the same day. And for another, she suffered for 12 years. Now, we don't know why. We don't understand. God's ways are so much higher. But that is why you and I are called to hold on to hope, to hold on to Jesus. I want to introduce you to some people who are struggling right now to hold on to any kind of hope because the darkness is so great. But the wonderful news is you and I have been given a little candle and we can shine some light right now into that darkness. Would you watch this? Who is your best friend?
I mean, the pet that just not the angel room, but what the woman brought on.
But me and home, but with the car,
she said, "No. Nobody."
Do you have anyone that you trust?
Me and I.
No.
Many of the girls I've met on these trips are young, defenseless teenagers, and they all have similar stories. They wake up next to a much older, strange man, and they're held captive for weeks, months, or even years. Do you remember that first night? Do you remember what that felt like? You and I, as God's sons and daughters, we've got to be the ones telling these girls, you have a purpose, you have a future, and you have hope. There is a God who loves you, and He is your friend. You are not worthless. You are not worth just $10 anytime a man comes through the door. You are priceless. If we don't rescue these girls right now, their abuse and misery will continue night after night. It is our responsibility to protect these precious girls, show them the love of God, and help them heal. You know, on my first rescue life trip in Southeast Asia, the number one thing that I understood very quickly was how much I didn't understand. So often we hear about stories of people being trafficked and we think, well, why don't they just leave? But talking to one of these young girls, and they're very young girls, 12, 13 years old, and I asked one of those girls, isn't there an opportunity for you to get away? And she kind of looked at me as if, you just don't understand. And then she told me, the people who have taken me, they know where I live, and I have two younger sisters. And they have told me, if you run away, we will go and get them. And at 13 years of age, she's staying in this wretched place to protect her sisters. The thing that I have come to respect so much about a Rescue Life program is that it's in three parts. It's reach, rescue, and restore. And each one is vital. I spent some time with teams where they go up into the mountains to the little villages and begin to sit down with these children and tell them the very thing that might save their life. You think you would be teaching them about all sorts of fun, wonderful things, but they're actually teaching these children, if someone like this comes to your village and offers you this and offers you food or says, I have a great job for you in town and you can send money back for your family, they're taught to run away and yell as loudly as they can. So that's part of the work, reaching so they never end up in a place like this, but then rescue. These girls, it's a living hell. I can't even begin to imagine what it's like for them. Sometimes they come to the town and they're taught, you know, you're going to work as a waitress here, and they're given a meal, which is probably one of the best meals they've had in a long time. They don't know it's drugged, and they wake up the next morning in an unthinkable situation and virtually in a prison. And our teams are boots on the ground in Jesus' name. And they go in and they knock down doors and they rescue these girls and they have those traffickers arrested. And then comes the third part, restore. We have this beautiful place called the House of Destiny that many of you helped us establish. And what a joy it was to go and to see the girls there, a place where they're taught that there is a God who heard those desperate prayers in the middle of the night, and He sent us to let you know that you are loved. We're asking you to help. We have an amazing matching gift at the moment of $320,000. People who are supporting us, perhaps you're even one of them, saying, yes, we stand with you in this. So it used to be that to begin the process of reaching, rescuing, and restoring a child is about $128. But now, if you can give $64, that will be matched in our matching gift. And together, you will help one child. If you're able to do $128, that will now be matched and two children will be delivered. $1,280 matched would now rescue 20 children from a nightmare. So please, please go to your phone. Just give the very best gift you can. But let's determine that as long as this evil is on the earth, those of us who come in the name of the Lord are going to be stronger than the evil that comes against them. Please call now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you I Hear His Whisper. Each entry in this beautiful 365-day devotional will encourage you with words of comfort, joy, and love as you encounter God's heart and hear His gentle voice. With a gift of $128 or more, you'll receive What Does Your Jesus Look Like? This captivating book by sculptor Scott Stearman shares compelling stories and beautiful images, revealing how we can be the image of Christ to a watching world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is kingdom stuff. This is eternal stuff. You know, those things that we do on a daily basis that were fun or important for a season, this is eternal stuff. Because once we have been able to reach, to rescue, to restore that child, we're able to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And I cannot tell you how amazing it is to be able to pray with some of these young girls as they give their life to Jesus. For any gift at all, we have this great 365 days devotional, which we hope will bless you. If you're able to give more, $128, beautiful coffee table book, What Does Your Jesus Look Like? It's our way of saying thank you, but please keep calling. Let's reach, rescue, and restore in Jesus' name. Pull yourself away from the devil. They ask for everything. Promise to set you free. You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Just search Life Today and you'll be connected to exciting shows featuring your favorite guests. Never miss a moment to get inspired, get involved, and get the best of life anytime, anywhere. Life Today is always on. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
You know, something slams into our life unexpected, and we feel like, how can this be? I've got to fix this. I've got to do something.
Embracing trust tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.